Well, if you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 27.
At the life of David and seeing him in some great moments and seeing him in some not so great moments. One tonight I think that is not his best, but let's look together. Chapter 27. There's a danger as we think about where David's at. He's been pursued by Saul now for a long time. Saul has tried to kill him. And after a while, I think you can begin to be discouraged. And you can begin to give up. You begin to feel like, well, nothing's ever going to change. And so maybe I just need to do what the world says. Take the world's answer. Take the world's solution. And so, in some sense, I think David did that in this chapter. In other ways, he still seemed to be trusting in the Lord. Let's look at it. Chapter 27, verse 1. If you found your place and you're able, would you join me in standing in honor of the reading of God's Word? And David said in his heart, "I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand." And David arose and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maoch, king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. And David said unto Achish, "If I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee?" Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Therefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. And David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites and the Gezrites and the Amalekites. For those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. And David smote the land, and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. And Achish said, "Whither have you made a road today, or a raid today?" And David said, "Against the south of Judah, and against the south of the Jerahmeelites, and against the south of the Kenites." And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, "Lest they should tell on us, saying, so did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines." And Achish believed David, saying, "He hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him. Therefore he shall be my servant forever." And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, "Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men." And David said to Achish, "Surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do." And Achish said to David, "Therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever." Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for the Word of God. We pray that you'll help us tonight to gain insight and have understanding and learn from the life of David. And Lord, we just ask that the Holy Spirit of God would come, lead us, teach us, help us to understand. We pray together and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And I was just thinking as we finished that section there, Achish told David that he would make him the keeper of his head forever. And I kind of thought, you know, that would be kind of nice to have someone. I guess it's not what that's talking about, though. Someone to keep your head or, you know, to... All right. Okay, so as we think then about where we're at, David has come through a difficult time, but he's still in a difficult place. And just notice here a couple thoughts. One is David said in his heart, verse 1, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. You know, Saul has told him now a couple times, oh, David, you're right, I'm wrong, and you're going to be the king, and you're going to win this thing, and so I'm just going to leave you alone. And David didn't believe that. David didn't trust that, and probably rightly so. But David comes to the place here where he says in his heart, I shall now perish one day. But now wait a second. Is not this the same David that Samuel had anointed as the next king of Israel? You know, if David is going to be the king of Israel, then how can Saul or anybody take him out? You know, it's sort of like when Jesus said to his disciples, fellas, get in the boat, we're going to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And they climbed in, and then he said, oh, I'll be along later. And this time he was in there with them, and he went to sleep. You remember the story? I'll get my story straight here in a minute. Or I'll have James finish. He's going to be the keeper of mine head. And he'll have to clean up all the messes and mistakes. Do what? but Jesus went to sleep in the back of the boat. Meanwhile, a big storm came up, and they were, you know, seasoned veteran fishermen and sailors on the Sea of Galilee, and they were afraid. They thought they were going to die. And they finally, somebody's got to go wake up Jesus. We're about to die here. And he's back there taking a nap. And so they went and woke up Jesus, and he said, oh, ye of little faith. And he spoke to the wind, and he spoke to the storm, and immediately a calm just settled on that lake, that Sea of Galilee. In one moment, they were thoroughly convinced that they were dying. They were about to go down to the bottom of the Sea of Galilee. And no doubt, they knew of others who had lost their lives, been caught. Sometimes those storms will come down out over the hills there, down into that little place where the Sea of Galilee is, and very quickly can come up, and very violent storms. And I think here's the danger. If we begin to look into our heart to try to figure out where we're at and what our need is or what our problem is or what our answers are, David began to look to the wrong place to try to figure out what to do next. And so as a result of that, it says here that he said in his heart, I shall now perish. It's better that I go and live with the Philistines. Well, the only problem is that the Philistines are the biggest enemy of Israel, of Judah, of David. You know, David has spent his entire military career pretty much fighting against the Philistines, starting with Goliath, who was from Gath, where David went. So, and if you remember, David went to the Philistines once before. He went to Achish once before. You remember that? What did he do? You might remember? Because he was by himself then. He didn't have 600 men. He didn't have, you know, any kind of an army. And he thought he was going to be put to death. So remember what he did? He pretended to be mad. He let the spittle run down his beard and just, you know, try to gross people out and make them think that he was, you know, off his rocker. And because people, you know, were kind of hands off of crazy people, they had kind of a respect for someone who was out, literally out of their mind. And so David came across that way. But now he's come back again. This time he's got his family. He's got his wives. He has 600 men with him. And that's, you know, that's interesting because he's had that 600, that group of 600 men now for quite some time. You know, I would guess probably a 10-year period now that this has been going on with Saul. And the best part of that, I would say, those 600 men have been with him, which is pretty remarkable. But here they go to the Philistines, to Gath, and they're looking to get away from Saul. But this is the same David. Turn with me for just a second to Psalm 27. And notice the words here that David wrote in Psalm 27. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in the tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." This is the same guy. You know, one day, man, he's just praising the Lord. He's, well, let me ask you, have you ever had a bad day? You ever had a series of bad days? You ever had a bad year? Maybe a series of bad years. And in those moments, I mean, yeah, we do have these mountaintop moments. And the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I fear? I mean, boy, that's awesome. And he had seen God work like that. But now he's in a low point. Now he's at a place where he's looking at this and he's saying in his heart, "Boy, the best thing I can do is go over and live with the Philistines for a while. Saul's going to kill me." Well, I just want to encourage you, don't let discouragement push you to follow the world, to follow the lead of those who would say to you, "Well, you just need to give up. You just need to let go of your ideals and of your standards, and you just need to accept the world's idea and live the world's dream here, because obviously this isn't working." And I want to tell you, one of the chief tools that the enemy uses against us is discouragement. And he discourages our soul. It's little by little. You know, it's not like one day we just get up and suddenly the enemy just overwhelms us. It's not normally that way. It might be some days, but you know. But usually it's little by little. It's just attack, 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 and keep on and on and on. Well, I want to encourage you, don't allow the enemy to use that, and don't look to your own heart for wisdom and counsel. Don't go there. You know, I mean, we hear Hollywood say, "Oh, what does your heart tell you? What do you think your heart is leading you to? What does your heart say?" Well, that's flawed. The heart of man is desperately wicked, and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? So when you follow your heart, you're following a compass that's wandering all over the landscape. And we need one that's anchored. We need one that is set in stone, the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. So David makes this move. They go to Achish, and Achish knows what's going on with David. He knows he's the enemy of Saul. And so he says, you know, David has been our enemy, but now he's the enemy of Saul. So I think he might be of benefit to us. We can gain something from him in return for allowing him to live here. And so that's kind of the arrangement they struck. And David arranged for them to go and live in Ziklag, which was a small outlying place. And some have suggested so that the king of Gath wouldn't know what David was doing all the time. He wouldn't be, you know, constantly seeing what they were doing, or where they were going or anything. Well, so then what happens is that David sets up in Ziklag and he begins to raid. And he says he raided the Geshurites and the Gezerites and the Amalekites. Those are, you always count on the Amalekites. I mean, the other ites kind of come and go, but the Amalekites, man. Now, God had said there's coming a time when the Amalekites would just be wiped out. And finally, they were. But this was the group of folks that Saul had stumbled over. You remember, God told Saul to go and fight against King Agag and to kill everything. People, livestock, everything. And what did Saul do? You remember? He saved the livestock. As he said, the men wanted to save the best of the livestock to sacrifice to the Lord. And then he also spared King Agag. Well, so David does have this going. When he does fight against these people, he's fighting against the enemies of Judah, the enemies of Israel. And they are people that God had told the people of Israel to go in and to wipe them out. And I'll remind you, the reason God told his people to go in and wipe out these other folks was because their sin had become so great that God sent judgment upon them in the form of the nation of Israel. Now, God would send judgment on the nation of Israel in the form of the Babylonians eventually. But here, that's what's happening. You know, when God first promised the land to Abram, he said, I'm going to give you this land, but not yet. Because the iniquity of the Amalekites, the Amorites, is not yet full. They've not yet sinned away their day of grace. They still have an opportunity to turn back. Now, he didn't say all of that, but he said their sin is not yet full. That is, they have not completely sinned away their day of grace, is the way I read that. They still had an opportunity to turn back, and they didn't do it. Finally, God said, all right, that's it. Wipe them out. The people of Israel didn't do that. And as a result, they had groups of these people all throughout Israel that were left there. And the problem with that is that they worshipped other gods. Well, then the Israelites came in and started living around these people. They began to be influenced by these other people. They began to follow their gods. They began to marry and intermarry. And so it created issues. Well, David is raiding the right people. And then he would go and talk to Gath, to Achish, the king of Gath, and say, he'd say, well, where have you been raiding lately? And south of Judah, Israelites, Kenites, some of the folks who are friendly to the... And so Achish gathered from that. He said, David has really made himself, just absolutely the enemy of Israel, of Judah. So he's ours now. He was convinced. And so the day came when the Philistines began to gather, and they're going to go up and attack Israel. We're going to see this. They were going to go up and attack Israel, and so Achish says, David, I want you to go with me. And David says, well, you're about to see what I can do now. And I'm not sure, you know, I'm pretty sure David wasn't going to fight against his own people. I don't think he would have done that. But I don't know how he was going to get out of this jam he's in. He's in a bind because he's been lying. And any time you lie, you're creating a bind. You're creating a jam. Because if you tell one lie, then you've got to tell another lie to cover the first lie. But then also you've got to remember what you said that first time and the second time. Because the third time you're going to have to cover all those lies. And you're going to have to lie and lie. And you're going to keep on until finally you get caught in that web and you're stuck. And so, you know, was David completely wrong? Well, it wasn't wrong to try to get away from Saul. But, boy, you know, I think this is a difficult choice, or a bad choice, maybe is a better word. And I think it would have been better for David to go back to the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You know, maybe if he'd had that focus, well, okay, what about us? Are we acting out of fear? Are we acting out of a sense of, oh, I've got to do this. The world offers this. The world says that. I read this on the internet. Or are we going back to the Lord and saying, Lord, You are my light and my salvation. You are the strength of my life. And that's what we need. So I don't want to be too hard on David because he had some difficult challenges, hard things he went through. Sometimes we do too. And I want to encourage you in those moments. Don't allow yourself to weaken. Don't allow yourself to take in counsel, whether it's from yourself or others, that will lead you from the Lord. But keep your hope, keep your faith, keep your strength anchored in Christ. Because He's able to rescue you. He could have rescued David. David didn't have to take this course. He could have done something else. God would have provided a way. And God would have honored him in that. And so, you know, the other notable example, and we looked at it here not too long ago, of someone leaving Bethlehem, the house of bread. Remember that story? It was Ruth. The story of Elimelech and his family. They were having a famine and they just said, oh, we've got to go to Moab. Well, man, that was not the place of God's blessing. And they struggled there. And Elimelech died. Mahlon, Chilion, sick and puny, they died. You know, and the only good thing to come out of Moab was Ruth. That was the only thing, good thing that Naomi brought back with her was Ruth. And so God's able to use whenever we get out into the wrong places. He can still use that and turn it and make it something good come from it. But I want to encourage you, keep your eyes focused on the Lord. Trust His promises. Believe His promises. And you can't trust and believe in something you don't know. You've got to keep pouring into your heart and your mind. You've got to keep pouring the Word of God. You need God's Word every single day. Why? Because the day you don't, the enemy will come at you. And he'll chip and peck and work and try to get at that place in your life that's weakest, that's most vulnerable. So David is still in a predicament here. He's in a bind, and we'll find out more as we go along. But not the best choice, but God's still able to work through it. So, well, some of us have made choices that weren't the best either. So we just need to know God is able to redeem even our bad choices.
All right, so we're going to close tonight and just ask this question. Are you trusting in the Lord? Are you believing God for your greatest needs, for your greatest issues that face you, troubles, whether it's work-related, family, financial, health, spiritual, it could be any number of things. Are you trusting God, or are you looking to your own heart, thinking within yourself? Well, let's bow our heads. In this moment, we're just going to take a time to pray, seek the Lord. And if there's something specific that God has laid on your heart, would you go to Him right now and just give that thing to Him, whatever it is. And say with David, not in the weakness of 1 Samuel 27, but in the strength of Psalm 27, say, Lord, You are my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Lord, You are the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Father, in this moment, Lord, I just pray You'd allow us to come before You, to seek Your face, to trust You with needs, with problems, with worries, with concerns. God, just to lay it before You. And Father, I pray You'll meet us right there where we are. Lord, speak to us. Help us to know what to do, how to do it. Lord, lead us. And Father, if there are specific needs in this group of folks gathered here tonight, Lord, would You give us grace to answer Your call.